Welcome to Marriage University. My name is Tina Heisman. I am a certified master life coach specializing in marriage. The topic for today's podcast is my top tips on communication. But before we get started, I want to let you know that I have a free, private, Happy Wives community on Facebook where you can come to get inspiration for your marriage. Search the Happy Wives community in the Facebook search bar or head on over to my website, tinaheisman.com, and click on the banner at the bottom of the front page. Also, I have created a free download called the Marriage Makeover Guide. It's a guide to help you make over your marriage into a happier, more peaceful place. I like to refer to it as a solution tool that you can use to solve problems in your marriage. Just plug in the challenge or frustration that you're having, and the tool will help you come up with a solution, and more than one at that. Okay, so you can just visit my website to download that. And now let's dive in and talk about my top tips on communication. So communication can be a sticky situation in marriage, but it doesn't have to be. Today's podcast is going to give you a quick run through of about 18 of my top communication tips. So it will be a quick run through. We're not going to spend a lot of time on each tip, but if you want to learn more about any of the tips, please reach out to me and we can focus some more attention on that in another podcast, or maybe we can even just chat about it offline. So over the weekend, I sat down to think about what are the most important things for communication that I would want to share with wives that I know. And so that's how I came up with this list of 18 quick things. And so I hope that maybe you'll just listen for one or two things that you might want to improve in your marriage. No need to try and perfect them all. And some of these might even help you think of other tips that I didn't mention. But just look for one or two things, right? We're not here to work on everything all at one time. And I'd also like to ask you to listen for whatever you think you might already be doing a really good job at and give yourself a pat on the back, because we all need a pat on the back sometimes. And I know that it doesn't always come from your spouse. But if you know that you're doing a good job and you are connected with God and He's going to let you know that you're doing a good job, then that's really, I think, where we can feel more peace about where we're going, okay? But there's always something to improve, so let's just keep an eye out for that during this talk. Okay, so tip number one. This is a big one for me. Everything that pops into your head does not need to come out of your mouth. Remember, Jesus teaches us that we are to use our words to build each other up and not tear each other down. So sometimes even the most well-meaning words or helpful words, we think they're being helpful, but they can really hurt our spouse. Remember that Shanti Feldhahn teaches us that our men are much more vulnerable than we realize. And so sometimes well-meaning things in our minds hurt them. So try to remember that. And there's a scripture that I like to use to help me keep on track with that. And I think it's lovely. It's Proverbs 31:26. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. So we can remember that. And we can also just try to remember sometimes the best thing to say is nothing at all. And so that's tip number one. Tip number two, always communicate to your man with respect. He needs it like he needs oxygen. Seriously, girls. Ephesians 5:33 says, "However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." Notice that it doesn't tell us to love our husbands. It tells us to respect them. That's because God knows we're already really good at this loving thing, but the respect is the area he's trying to grow us in. And so specifically, men say that they need to be respected for their judgment about things, for their ability to figure things out for themselves, and for their accomplishments. And they need us to respect them when we're communicating to them, whether it's in private and especially if it's in public. And so if you want more information on this, the book For Women Only by Shanti Feldhahn is a fabulous resource, and you'll see in more detail what that tip means, but it's really important. And so tip number three, it is vitally important that we communicate our admiration of our husband's character on a regular basis. That's like the things that make him a great person. So say he's really good with your budget numbers, or he's a loving father, or his sense of humor always helps ease the tension, or maybe like my husband, he can fix anything and you love that because it helps save your family money and it just shows great problem-solving skills to your kids, right? We want to be looking for these character strengths and complimenting them when we see them. And you could set a little goal for yourself, like once a week, that you're going to notice something that your husband does, right? And compliment him for it. He will really appreciate that. It's going to go a long way toward building him up and opening up his ears so that he can hear you better when you're speaking to him. Because the truth is, when we as women use our words to communicate a lot of negativity, they kind of shut down and they hear less. So we want to open them up by communicating more positively. Admiration is a fantastic way to get that going. And here's another fantastic way. Communicating your gratitude for the things your husband does for you and your family on a daily basis. This one is not like on a weekly basis. This is on a daily basis. Every single day, we should be able to find something that we can thank our husband for. Is it thank you for taking out the trash? Thank you for going to work for our family? Thank you for helping me clean up dinner? Girls, I cannot express how big of a difference this will make in your marriage. If you take anything from your podcast today, take this. Take this, because just like communicating your admiration, when your husband is hearing from you on a daily basis how grateful you are for his help and for everything he does, that is going to make him feel very respected. We talked about that, and very loved. And it's going to open him up to being able to hear you, especially when you're coming to him with something that you might need him to work on, right? If most of the time you're working on building him up, and then every once in a while you come to him with something that you might need a little help on, it will go over much better because you have such a huge track record of all of the positivity and building him up. Okay? So let me know if you want to talk more about that. But we're going to move on now for tip number five. That is about shoulder-to-shoulder communication. If you've listened to my podcast, I know you've heard me talk about this. But men find face-to-face communication very intimidating. When they're looking in your eyes, especially if you're expressing disappointment, that's like a dagger in their heart. That is really hard for them. It's really intense. So if you're having trouble communicating face-to-face with your husband, you might consider trying to talk to him shoulder to shoulder. So this could mean going for a walk or a hike or a bike ride or, you know, golfing, or like doing something side by side with him. And if you think about when men get together with their buddies, they're usually doing an activity that's side by side or shoulder to shoulder. And that's because that's most comfortable for them and it feels like bonding. And so just keep this in mind, because this is a simple fix if you're having a communication barrier. Okay, tip number six, communicate what you do want, not what you don't want. For example, let's just say you're having a communication about the budget. Instead of saying something like, I don't want to give up dance lessons for Abby, you could say, I would love for Abby to be able to continue to experience dance classes, and maybe the reasons why. This tells your husband what you would love. And I think you can feel like the difference in communication. Like it will open him up more to wanting to find a solution with you for helping her continue those dance classes, instead of saying what you don't want. When you say, I don't want to give this up, he is going to feel stress and pressure instead of a sense of teamwork. And so phrasing it in a more positive way, it creates a teamwork environment and an opportunity for your husband to serve you and to help you get what you want. So that's a really powerful tip in everything. I can't express this enough. In everything you're communicating with your husband, communicate what you do want, not what you don't want, okay? Focus on what you do want. You're going to notice huge improvements in your communication with that. On another note, Learn how to make requests of your husband, not demands. We have to remember that we are their wives and not their mothers. And especially, you know, when we become a mother ourselves and have children, it's so common for us then to just extend that to our husband and communicate with him in a way that's more motherly than as a teammate and as a wife. So let's take an example. If you have a leaky faucet in your house and you've been reminding him to fix a leaky faucet and it's not happening, and you know, a lot of times we might condemn them for how long it's taking. So think about that. Like, that's kind of more like a mother, like telling him when he should do something. We're all adults here. We don't need another adult to tell us when we should do something. I don't like it. I know I don't like it. And I know my husband doesn't like it either. And so if you come from your, you know, like your honest desire and honesty and understanding and grace, you could say something like, "Hey, honey, I know that you might have different priorities on your project list right now, and I really respect that, but I want to let you know this leaky faucet, I'm really worried about all the water it's wasting, and I'm just wondering if you could have time to move it up on your list." You could word it a different way. I'm just making this up out of thin air and throwing it out there, but you're just trying to, what you're trying to do is acknowledge that he might have different priorities. He knows it needs to get done. But if you could just, you know, make the request instead of making a demand and like giving him a choice of when he wants to fix it, you're giving him a choice and you're honoring him for saying, "I know your to-do list is really long, but you know, this is something really bugging me. And so I wonder if you could help me with that." So that will really help in your relationship if you could do that. Okay. So tip number 8, when your husband speaks to you, stop what you're doing and give him your full attention. I know this probably goes without saying, but sometimes I think, especially once we become mothers, we get so busy and our intentions are good. We're just trying to get a lot done. But when we don't stop what we're doing and engage in the conversation with our husband when he talks to us, we're unfortunately showing him that he's not important. And I know we don't think that way. And so just, you know, being sure, practice your listening skills and really give him the full presence of you as you're having the conversation. You know, engage, be attentive, ask him questions, show him that he really is as important as I know you already think he is. Okay, tip number 9. So if your husband is crabby, what I've learned over the years is to let it be. Don't try to fix it. Don't push him to talk. Don't take it personal. Give him the space to work out whatever is going on his own, and you'll be so glad you did. And I talked in detail about this topic just last week on the podcast, so you can listen in there to learn more about that. But I think that's a biggie. So often we're pushing them to talk with us and explain things to us when really they just need to be alone. And on that note, realizing, this is tip 10, that men process things more internally than externally. You know how us women, like, we like to talk it out. Men don't like to do that. It's not in their nature. They're not comfortable with it. So we can go a long way toward keeping the lines of communication open, honestly, by giving them grace if they walk away from a conversation or even if they lose their cool, just recognizing their emotions are in overdrive. And this is not a character flaw. This is how God made them. And I'm not saying they don't need to work on losing their cool at all, but if we can be more respectful and give them grace when that happens, you will see that the reconciliation will be so much better and quicker, and they'll come back and they won't feel bad like you're condemning them. They already feel bad for losing their cool. We feel bad when we lose our cool, right? They do too. But if we can give them that grace and that space to process, then that is really going to help them feel better and be more willing to communicate with us when they're ready, okay? So on that note, tip 11, if tempers flare during a conversation, call a temporary ceasefire, sleep on it, and come back to it another day. And for the record, there is biblical proof that this concept is okay. It's in Psalm 4:4. It says, "Don't sin by letting anger gain control over you. Think about it overnight and remain silent." Right? So that's just a little cue for us that we can take a break from a tough conversation and come back later. Because when tempers are flaring, no good is going to come out of it, right? So I know that is easier said than done, but try to take that wisdom forward. Okay, tip 12. This is a great tip on difficult conversations that I heard from author Bob Goff. He recommends if you're going into a difficult conversation and you know you are, to sit with your hands on your lap and your palms facing up. He said that this helps you keep your cool, and I've practiced with it. It's really cool. Like it's weird. It's like it just like reminds you of where you are, and it really does. It helps me keep my cool too. And I've heard other experts suggest something a little bit similar, like maybe putting your hand on your spouse. So that kind of reminds you of your connection and will help you stay calm and loving when your anger might want to flare or his anger. It just helps you both stay more calm. So give that guy a try. 13, tip 13, I would strongly suggest learning the five love languages by reading the book of the same name. It's author Gary Chapman. This is a simple communication fix. So many times people think the love is gone in their relationship, but that's not true. It's just that you are communicating love in a way to your spouse that he is not receiving, and he is communicating love to you in a way that you are not receiving. And so we just need to bridge that gap and learn about each other's preferred communication styles, and that love will begin flowing again and everyone will feel much happier. This book has literally saved thousands and thousands of marriages, so totally check it out. It's called The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. Tip 14, remember that your husband is not a mind reader. Seriously, girls, tell him what you're thinking, because he wants to please you. He really does. We have to lose the attitude that he should know what we're thinking or he should know what we need. I wish it was different. I do, honestly, but it's not. And so we have to be open and honest and clear. They really don't know what we're thinking. So tell them what you're thinking. Tip 15, set aside regular time each day to catch up for a few minutes. Remember that you're a team and you're in this together. So you've got to take time every day to connect and see how each other is doing, see what's going well, see what's not going well, see how you can pray for each other. You know, share with him about your day and hear about his day. It doesn't have to be long. Maybe 10 minutes could really go a long way, especially if you're not doing that now. Okay, and on that note, tip 16, to set a weekly marriage meeting to talk about your marriage, there's a great book called Marriage Meetings for Lasting Love. It's 30 minutes per week to the marriage you've always wanted. I would definitely recommend checking out that book as well. The author shares a template that you can use for your marriage meetings to help them be, you know, productive and fruitful and happy and peaceful. Okay, tip 17. Be sure to consider the timing of when you're trying to have a conversation with your husband. So sometimes, you know, maybe over a busy dinner, we're trying to talk to our husband when the kids are talking and it's not really the best time or place. So if there's something that you want to talk to your husband about, just ask him when would be a good time for him to talk. So the cool thing about that is it communicates respect, right, for him and his time. And then you'll be guaranteeing yourself a quiet time that works for both of you. If your children cooperate, that is, right? Right. So that's what we have to work on, right? Those kiddos interrupting. Okay. So then tip 18. This is my final tip for today anyway. Remember to ask God to guide your conversations and to give you the words to communicate clearly. I think this is probably the best tip of all because I think we often forget to ask God to help us in our regular daily conversations, to help us, you know, communicate respectfully and to be connected and just to help us communicate our love back and forth to each other, right? So don't forget that. Okay, so I know all of this marriage talk is easier said than done. So if you would like to work with a coach on this, reach out to me. I have some great tools to help you along in your journey and I would love to work with you. Thank you for listening in today and let me know if you have any specific questions. Also, remember that free marriage makeover guide on my website, tinaheisman.com, and the Happy Wives community on Facebook. Join me there to be inspired in your marriage and reach out to me if you would like more information about one-on-one marriage coaching. I will talk to you next week. Thank you.